and just asking God, what was his heart? And you know, the most common thing to think about when we get to a new year is like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What gym am I going to join? Or what diet am I going to start? Or what's this or what's that? And for Mark, that's music to his ears because he's a personal trainer. And he's like, come sign up with me, please. But just as praying and reading and just thinking about it, just over this last couple of weeks, I felt God was saying, what about our New Year's resolution was to love each other better? You know, in other words, our New Year's resolution was for everybody else rather than ourselves. That our biggest commitment this year, our biggest desire was to be a blessing to the people around us rather than worrying about, am I going to be blessed? Am I going to get this? Am I going to do that? What am I going to do in 2016? And God, I felt God was saying all those things are great in terms of what am I going to do. But I felt like he was saying if we would get our love for each other to a higher level, then everything that we want for ourselves will be taken care of. Because why? Because the person beside you is going to love you. You're going to love them. And we're just going to see it go round and round and round. And God's going to take care of every single need that we have. I felt that God was saying we need unstoppable love. We need unstoppable love, a love that will reach out when nobody else is reaching, a love that will reach out and care for people whenever they don't even really realize that they need cared for. Just a love that has no limits, a love that's boundless, a God love that said, for God so loved the world that he gave up his only son. And I felt that God was saying and believe that God is saying this morning, and for us as we go forth, if we could just get consumed with love for each other, not just the love for the Lord, which is an important thing and we need that, but a love for each other, it's going to change absolutely everything. This year, I want to have a love that looks like something. We went to see, a few of the guys and me went to see Heidi Baker at the end of August, and that was just one of her phrases. I want a love that looks like something. I want a love for people that will actually look like something. She spent time with homeless people, so her love looked like her sitting just beside someone in the rain or in the cold or in the frost, and she'd just be talking to them about God, giving them a coffee, spending time with them, praying with them. A love that looked like something. And I believe this morning God is saying, I need us to have a love like never before. Because if the world is getting worse, then our love has got to get greater. God is the greatest love. His love is inside of our hearts, and his love needs to abound forth and enter into this broken, upset world that we see all the time. We can stand from afar, and we can maybe moan and criticize and say, I wish this was better, I wish that was better. We can even pray. But I believe that God loves it when we just get stuck in and we start to love the people around us, even whenever they're the hardest to love or they don't even want to know us. God is saying this morning, I need an outrageous love for my people. I need an outrageous love that's going to go and spread across this city and all the cities of Northern Ireland and all around the world, wherever we need to go to, but just to radiate the presence and the love of God. I want to read the first couple of verses this morning, 1 Corinthians 13. They're on the verses. There we go. Says 1 Corinthians 13, now this is something that we see all the time at weddings, and so they say familiarity breeds contempt, and this is exactly what can happen, because we read these verses all the time. It's kind of like a given. If you don't read these verses at a wedding, it's not a wedding or whatever, but trust me, it would be. But so we read these all the time, and then we can forget about it. So what I tried to do was try to find a slightly different version that maybe you've not seen before that hopefully would make us think again. So here we go. This is what it says. If I speak God's word with power, wow, this is amazing. If I speak God's word with power, that's what I'm hoping to do, revealing all its mysteries and making everything plain as day, you know, just making things simple. If I have faith that says the mountains jump and it jumps, but I don't have love, I've got nothing. And this is the heart of what God is trying to say this morning. You can have all those great things. You know, at the start of the new year, I see people, and this is not even a slight in this, but I see some people going, wow, I mean, I'm looking for a day-to-day reading plan. You know, I'm going to get really stuck into my Bible this year. And that's essential. It's really important. But I felt that God was saying, you could have all the insights in the world. You could have all the breakthroughs in the world. You could see all the great things that you're seeing. But if you don't have love, Bible is saying this morning, then we have nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. What a statement. What a statement to write this morning. I could go to be burned at the stake for what I believe in, but if I haven't got love, I've gotten nowhere. You know, I could have faith the smallest mustard seed, the Bible says, and we love this, and we all want to increase in our faith, and God is challenging us all the time to increase in our faith, and we're saying, hey, I wish I had more faith. I wish I had faith like you. I wish I had faith as small as a mustard seed, and then I'd turn around to the mountain, and I'd say for it to jump, and it would jump. And we know that that is good. And without faith, we cannot please the Lord. But look what it says here. It takes it further. And it says, if we don't have love, we've got nothing. But if I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. This is what the Lord is saying this morning. I'm bankrupt without love. Bankrupt is a harsh word. It's a big word. It means you've just got nothing left. I'm empty. I've lost it all. I'm back to square one. I'm back to probably worse than square one because I've got nothing. I've got absolutely nothing. Lord is saying this morning, no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I am bankrupt without love. And this morning we know what the two greatest commandments are. To love the Lord with everything that we've got. And then to love each other just the same. To love each other with everything that we've got. And so we've looked at this months and months ago, and we always are thinking about this, but I felt God was saying this morning, it's about love. It's about love for each other. And can we take this further? Because I've got a firm belief that love in someone could change them from the inside out. Love came and it died on a cross, and it changed the world forever. Love entered our hearts, and it changed us forever. The love of Christ came into me, and it changed me from the person that I thought I was into the person that I was made to be. Jesus transformed me from the inside out. And we're going to look at it this morning, and we're going to look at a couple of stories this morning. But one of the most dangerous things that we can have as a Christian is to think, well, I was never that bad. I was never that bad. You know, God, I know God had to do a bit of saving, but he didn't have to save me that much. You know, but her, whoa, she's really bad. Or him, he's a disaster. I'm not even sure he'll ever get saved. You know what the truth was? Jesus had to come for you just as much as he had to come for them. There was no difference. God says, all your righteousness are like filthy rags in front of me. Just no good. I had to come for you just as much as I had to come for them because you were getting nowhere without my love. And the Lord is saying this morning, I want to go deep into your heart. I want to transform your thinking. I want to transform the way that you're acting and the way that you're going. And even the things you're doing at the moment are probably very good. But God is saying, I want to take that further. I want to develop that love even more. Because without love, we are bankrupt. We can do all of these great things. But if we haven't got love, what have we got? I was thinking about it. Forget about the gyms. Forget about the diets, even just all the good things. What about really reaching out and loving people? Loving people. What about really setting our goals strong this year as we go into this new year and say, my number one goal this year is I'm going to love people. I'm going to do something for people. My love is going to look like something. My love is going to reach out. My love is going to bring transformation. I am trying to be like Christ this year. I am trying to make a difference this year. I'm looking to go to somebody's house this year. I'm looking to speak to somebody who doesn't even really want to be spoken to because there's something significant that I need to do for them. I need to love them in a way that they've not been loved before. Is it possible that if we simply love people, it would change them? We've said it already. Of course it is. If we simply love people with the love of Christ, would that not bring transformation in their hearts? I think they'd be blown away. It's like some of the times when we go to do the outreach, some of the times. I don't even like that. I wish it was all of the times. You know, it's like some of the times we go and meet some people and we knock on their doors and we're saying, hey, we want to give you this. And they're like, why would you give me this? Why would anybody give me anything? And we try to say to them, we're doing this because God loves you. We're doing this because God loves you. And we put action to our faith. We want to put action to our love. And their reaction is like, are you joking? Are you out to get me? Is there something sneaky that you're doing behind the scenes? What's going on? Because most people, 99% of people are out to get you. 99% of people are out to take something from you. They do not want to give you anything, never mind love you. But God's saying this morning, I love you. And this is the love that I want you to share with everybody else. So could we get this into our hearts this year? Imagine this year my biggest purpose was to learn to love each other better than I love myself. Wow, what a statement, what a drive, what a statement that would be for us. Number one, I want to look at a few things this morning. I'm going to look at a few different verses. Something's got to change. Something has got to change. Now, you might be the best person in the world, and you probably are, but even at that, something still needs to change. Because I believe there's more that you can go. I believe there's a deeper place that you can walk. I believe that you have capacity to love greater than you've loved before, simply because the Lord lives in your heart. Mark shared it this morning as he was involved in an accident, really nasty accident this week. He says, greater than that is in me than he that's in the world. In other words, Jesus is great that's in me. God's great in me. Doesn't matter what attacks come my way. Doesn't matter what challenges I face. There's a great love inside of me. There's Jesus that lives in my heart. Jesus described it as this in terms of the changes we need to make. I'm saying we need to make some changes, but maybe the changes that we need to make are much more drastic than we first thought. John 15:13 says this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Wow. And we'll define friends in just a moment, because maybe you're thinking, well, a best friend, I could probably lay down my life for them. You know, my wife or whatever, I could probably do it for them. Or for my kids, I could probably lay down my life for them. But we'll define friends in just a moment. Friends. Wow. God is saying friends. He didn't even say family there. He's saying friends. No greater love than this. This is the kind of love that the Lord is expressing to us. This is what the love that the Lord has already shown us as he died on the cross to take away our sins. That kind of love. It's a love that overflows. It's a love that cannot be quenched. It's a love that never reacts. It's a love that will love regardless of the reaction. It's a love that will do for someone even when they have not even interest to do something for you. Not even interested in doing something for you. Greater love is no one. Have we got some changes to make this morning? Because the changes that Jesus is talking about here this morning is that I've demonstrated I was prepared to die. I've demonstrated it. I feel this morning God is saying, let the cross be the benchmark of your love, not the end of love as we know it. You know what I love? We're talking about love. I love the cross. I love what the Lord did for me because I could not do it for myself. I just couldn't do it. I love that I'm still trying to work out just how lost that I was, and I hope that I continue to work that out because I believe the more lost that I realize I was, the more in love I'm going to be with my Savior because I've realized afresh how lost I was and how much he has saved me from and how he has found me. But I believe this morning that God is saying it's a reminder of the cross. To remind ourselves of the cross, it was not just an historical event, but it was a life-changing event that changed history forever. It was love that went to the cross. And what bowls me over about the cross is this, is that Jesus didn't have to go. He had no need to go himself. No need to go. He could have said, I'm not interested. No need to go. And yet, there's this lovely verse in the New Testament that says that Jesus only ever did what his Father told him to do. He only ever did what his Father told him to do. And I could imagine, I'm just going to imagine for just a moment, just to help us. I'm sure God's so much better than this, so they didn't have to have the conversation. But just for me to maybe try to express to you what I was feeling at this moment, that maybe it would touch your heart the same way as it touched mine. And imagine just a conversation in heaven where the Lord just looked down and he remembered the flood and he said, I'm never doing that again. He gave them a promise. He gave them a promise. You remember God created the heavens and the earth. He made us, and we just seemed to get worse and worse and worse. And then eventually the Lord said, I've just got to start over. Just got to start over, and he sent the floods. And then after the floods came, and there was only Noah and his family left, God sent the rainbow as a promise, and he said, this is my promise. Never again am I going to flood the earth. Never can I do that. I'm not going that way ever again. Never, ever, ever. And I can imagine them way down in history when it comes to the conversation about Jesus and saying about his son and the conversation of saying, these guys don't deserve it. They don't deserve our love. Look what we have done or whatever. But there's just no other way. There's just no other way. Love has got to do something. Love has got to do something. And in our hearts and in our lives, if we're not careful, what we're trying to do all the time is we're rationalizing this. And we're like, I'm going to spend time with her because she's worth it. I'm going to spend less time with him because he's not as worth it. You know, because he's not going to offer me just as many things. And God and Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're in heaven, and they say, we've got to go on a rescue mission. We've got to come to earth. We've got to send our son. We've got to send you, Jesus, because there's no other way. And Jesus says, I'll do whatever the Father tells me to do. And Jesus came, and Jesus died. And he set us free because of love. Jesus didn't go to the cross because of any other reason other than love. Because of a great, deep love conviction for each one of us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And so if that's the demonstration that we have seen and we have received, and the power of that has saved us from our sins, then surely we've got a bit to go, and surely we have changes to make. But I do not want the cross to be the end, in a sense, of the greatest love the world has ever seen. It will be the greatest love. But Jesus said to us, I want you to continue to go forth. I want you to continue to show this love. And so I don't want people to look back and go, wow, love died on that day. Love won on that day. And it should be the catalyst for us ever since to go forward in a crazy love, an unconditional love, a love that knows no limits ever since. And so, God, I believe this morning to send this into our hearts. Remember the cross. Remember what I've done. Remember what I've done in your heart and in your life this morning. And let's start living out a love like that every day that we go. This is why the Bible tells us to die daily to self. Because it's the only way to work it. Die daily to self so we can live through God's love, that we can express his love to the people and to the people that we meet and the people that we come across. Second thing this morning, we said it already, but in another fashion, but I want to say it again. My judging needs to go out the window. If I'm going to love people the way God needs me to love them, my judging needs to go out the window. Even the best judging, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to figure people out. I'm like, she'd be good for this, or he'd be good for that, or he's going to do this, or she's going to do that. Seems like a positive kind of a thing. But God is saying this morning, I need us to stop judging. In fact, he reminds us again and again and again. He says, just stop judging these people. Love people. See what love could do when we start to unconditionally love people, the transformation that that could bring. When we meet someone who's down and out and they're just struggling with the biggest struggle they've ever faced, and we simply start to love them in a way that we've, in terms of spending time and talking to them and listening to them, the transformation that that can bring. You know, I'm sitting this week with just these leaflets in the back of my pocket from people that have written down things, and my heart is breaking because I'm thinking, wow, this is exactly what we need to talk about. We need to talk about love because people are dealing with incredible issues. And here's the thing, and I was thinking about it just as I was praying, is that we choose to love. It's a decision. So we could say, well, we just didn't see her for a month. And her or him or whoever the person was has just been through the toughest month of their whole lives. And they'll get through it because God's good. And that's a great thing. God is good. But how much easier would it be to get through a tough month with a great friend by your side? Not just the Lord, but a great friend from church. Or two great friends from church who've just come by and have just brought something for you to eat because they knew you couldn't do it. Or somebody's just went and picked you up because they knew you couldn't get there on your own strength. Or someone's just given you a phone call and said, hey, I knew you were going through a tough time. I thought I'd give you a call. But you know what tends to be our reaction, and this is the type of stuff that I want us to think about this morning. It's like, Flip, I haven't seen him in a month. Is he even going on with the Lord anymore? You know what I mean? I wonder what she's up to. Ah, I knew she wouldn't last either. You know what I mean? It's just, it's those kind of statements. They drive me up the wall. I hate those kind of statements. Wow, I never thought he was saved anyway. I knew that was going to happen. I knew he was a loser from the start. She was a loser from the start. She was a waster. I knew that he was a waster, and I knew she was too. You know what I mean? That's the kind of statements that we make. That's the kind of things that we do. And we do it just by the by. We just do it automatically. We even feel justified in making the statements. We even feel justified in it. And I feel that God is saying this morning is that I died for you just as much as I died for them. And if you do not get your heart right, you're going to miss the whole thing. You're going to miss the whole thing. Because the reason that we're doing it is because we feel we're in a better position than them. We feel that we maybe came from a better background than them. We feel that we better came from a better religion than them. Or we live in better conditions than them. And so we think, oh, well, they'll never make it because of this or because of that. But what if we started to love unconditionally? What could the transformation look like? I think about a homeless person and people starting to love them. And we've got countless stories of them around the world where someone just starts to love them and the transformation it brings. I shared a story months ago, and I don't know why, but I want to just share it again. And it was about this guy who lived on a bridge for 17 or 18 years, and they just met with him every day, bringing him lunch, bringing him lunch, bringing him lunch. And somebody turned around and said, why do we even bother anymore? Why do we even bother? We should just give up. It's a waste of time, waste of energy. He doesn't even want to come to church anyway. And then this new girl came along 17 years later, and she was full of enthusiasm. You know the ones come along like, well, you don't even know this, you know, you don't even know. We've been here a long time. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And she comes along, and she just says to some of them, she goes, why do we never invite him to church? And you can imagine someone like, we've been inviting him for church for 15 flipping years, you know? It's not going to happen. And she just comes with this useful enthusiasm, just with a genuine love. And she turns around, she goes over to the guy and says, you fancy coming to church? He goes, okay. And he came to church. He came to church. His life was turned around. You know what happened? Within a few years, he'd been to Bible college. He'd come out the other side, and now he was a pastor in that very church. From a nobody living under a bridge that nobody's even interested in, that most of the well-to-dos from the church says he's a waster. He's just wasting his life. Would he ever just go and get a job? And now suddenly he's one of the pastors in the church. I mean, he's going to be telling them a few things from the front. But what I'm trying to say this morning is this, is love knows no bounds. If we're going to love the way the Lord has challenged us to love, then it's got to be love that knows no limits. There's a story in John chapter 8 in the New Testament, and we don't have time to read it, but this is a story all about judging. It's a woman caught in the very act of adultery. She's been caught red-handed. She's ashamed. I mean, there's just no way out of this. It's a given. She's guilty. What are we going to do with her? And so they bring her before the Lord, and they say to Jesus, what are you going to do? Now, the setup here is not what you'd imagine. Jesus is being set up by these religious guys. They're not interested in him. They're looking to bring him down. They don't like him. Why do they not like him? Because he loves too much. His love is too unconditional. He's happy to go and talk to people that are dropouts. He's happy to go and talk with prostitutes. He's happy to spend time with tax collectors. They just don't like him. They hate him, in fact. Man, if you don't have incredible love, just be careful that it doesn't turn to like bitterness and hatred and just go the complete opposite way. But the Lord had amazing love, and they didn't like it, so they set him up. They set him up, and here's this poor person caught in the very act of adultery, ashamed, abused, battered, probably came from the worst background you'd ever imagine. You just don't walk in and act like that. Something has had to happen in the past for you to end up in that kind of condition and to just be living that kind of way. And they bring him before Jesus, and Jesus knows it's all about the woman here, but they think it's all about him. And then he turns around and he challenges them and says, look, they challenge him and he says, look, what are you going to do with her, Jesus? What are you going to do with this woman? She's been caught in the very act. You got to stone her. And Jesus, he just kind of ignores them for a moment. And then he turns around with just one of the best statements you're ever going to hear. And it's a good one for us to drop into our hearts as we would meet people and mix with people and be out there with our co-workers and our friends and families. And he says, hey, you without sin cast the first stone. You know, you without any faults, you without any blemishes, you without any wrinkles, go and cast the first stone. And it said, I don't know what the picture was like at that point, but I mean, there was probably a deathly silence. And it said, one by one, they all started to disappear. It said it started with the oldest and they worked down to the youngest. But they just started with the oldest and they just started to disappear one by one. And then eventually Jesus looks up again and he says to the woman, where have your accusers went to? She says, they've disappeared. And he says, he just says, look, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. He just said, Jesus lifted her up. He says, I don't condemn you either. I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm not going to tell you off like you know what you've already done. I'm not going to remind you of all your faults and all your weaknesses. You already knew because Jesus knew she'd been caught red-handed. She was here. She was bright red-faced. She knew what she had done. Her head was probably buried in the sand the whole time because she felt so ashamed. So ashamed. You got to remember the culture. I mean, it was absolutely morally wrong to be at that. Today, you can probably get away with most things. You can probably get away with a lot of things. But in that society, in those days, it was terrible. It was the worst that you could ever do. And Jesus didn't turn around and say, wow, you know you've done wrong. You're bad. But I'm going to save you. He says, no, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. And I believe this morning God has given us a picture of how we are to act with people. And I'm not sure we'll ever get to that extent because that's unbelievable. And the more that you think about it, the harder that becomes. Because it would be easy to do that to a stranger, but so much harder to do it to someone who's maybe done a wrong to you. In terms of a best friend, they've let you down and now they're an enemy. How do you forgive in that capacity? How do you love in that kind of capacity? Never even mind forgive. How do you move on and love the way the Lord has called us to love this morning? Jesus is saying this morning, I need us to love unconditionally. Guys, I'm going to finish one more story and then I'm going to go to the end. But I want to share one more story just because I feel it's relevant and I really want to impress in our hearts that the love that we're talking about this morning is an outward-focused love and it's a love for people. I want to share about a story that I read back in a book a couple of years ago. You may already know the story. If so, then you're going to enjoy it again for the benefit of everybody else. But it was a book that was called Culture of Honor. And the whole book was based around honoring people. And honoring people, they believed in the way that God wants us to honor. And so inevitably, it was going to be based around love. And it talked about this couple. And they have a school. It's a church out in America. And they have this school. And people go to train at it. And there was a first year and there was a second year. And these two fell in love. You know, no better place to fall in love than a Christian school. That's amazing. You know, you're going to get married to a Christian. It's going to be amazing. You're going to have a great life together. You're going to do great things for the Lord. But they broke up for the summer. They went off for the summer. And it said these guys, they spent a great summer together. But they started to make a few mistakes. You know, they started to make a few mistakes in their relationship sexually. And ended up, they got pregnant. And so they're like, they're just like the woman. What on earth are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they had formed it in their mind, we're going to go to the school leaders. We're an embarrassment to the school. We've just ashamed them. We've just messed the whole thing up. We just got to get out. And so they went with the full realization that we'll just be told to go. And in all honesty, they pretty much wanted to go. They just thought, we don't want to be there. It's just too embarrassing. We'd feel too full of shame. And so they go to the school leader and they say, he says, what's the problem? They tell him what the problem is. We're pregnant. We shouldn't have done it. We know that we shouldn't. We should be married first and all this kind of stuff. And then he just says, but what's the problem? And he just keeps talking to them. And in those moments, he starts to show a love and a grace that they've never, ever experienced before. He starts to show them a love and a grace. And he says, but what's the problem? He says, well, we've got pregnant. He goes, that's not the problem. He goes, what's the problem? And he keeps on going, and he keeps on going for a few moments. And at the beginning, they think, is he here to hurt us? Is he here to condemn us? Is he here to put us down? But they quickly realize this person's trying to give us love. They see it in his eyes. They hear it in the way he's talking. He goes, no, what's really the problem? And they come to the realization, we've let God down. We've let God down, and we've let the school down, and we've let you down because you're the senior leader. And he goes, what about fixing that? He goes, what about fixing that? And so he gives him this task in love, and he says, I want you to go. He says, I want you to take the next week off from school. School's about to come back in a week's time. I want you to go for the next week. I want you to write letters to all your family. I want you to tell them about the things you've done. Tell them how sorry you are. You know it was wrong. You shouldn't have done it, but I want you to explain it. I want you to apologize. I want you to go to all your friends and all your significant family and tell them that, because this is the best thing you could do at this point. And so they go. They said it was the hardest week, going to your mums and dads, going to your aunties and uncles, going and telling them this thing, because they had been sent in good faith to this Bible college with lots of money, with lots of backing, with lots of prayer support, and they felt like they'd messed the whole thing up. So they go and do that. Come back to the school, and the guy says, I want you to do one more thing. I want you to apologize in front of the first years, and I want you to apologize in front of the second years. But we want you to stay. We want you to stay. We just want you to do the right thing, and then we want you to stay. And so they stand up, and they do this thing, and they stand in front of the class, and they tell them, and they're heartfelt, and they're honest, and they know what they've done is wrong, and they apologize. And you know the next thing what happens, totally unscripted, no one knew it was going to happen, but the whole class comes around them, and they start to pray for them. And they start to pray things like, this is not going to define you. You're going to move forward. And you know what they start to really pray? They start to really pray for the baby. They say that this baby is not going to be rejected. This baby is not going to be limited by the mistakes of the mother and father. This baby is not going to be defined by the mistakes that the mom and dad have made. This baby is going to be set free. This baby is going to have freedom. This baby is going to grow up and be a mighty warrior or a mighty princess for the Lord. This baby is not going to be held back. And God is saying this morning to us, this is the kind of love and compassion that we need to have. You see, a God love doesn't mean that you get away scot-free. A God love doesn't mean that you don't face up to your problems. And loving somebody unconditionally doesn't mean that they get away with it. It doesn't mean that at all. God's love is saying this morning, I've paid the highest price. I don't want people to pay any more. I don't want you to crucify any people out there. I don't want you to put to death any more people out there. I have died once for all. I don't want anybody else to die over this thing. I want you to love, and I want you to love unconditionally. That couple went back into the school. They went to the second years. The second years spontaneously did exactly the same thing because the place was steeped in love. It was dealt with in love. They weren't rejected. They weren't cast aside. They weren't put out. And I believe the Lord has sent us this year. If we could get a heart for people, there's virtually no one that we would put out. There's virtually no one that we could let go of. Because if it's a son or a daughter, or it's a close friend of yours, when would you ever let them go? When would you ever despise them? When would you ever reject them? And I believe God is saying this morning, let's have our love reminding people of the Lord. Let's have our love as we would go day to day. Let's have the love that we're showing to our friends, to our strangers, to our co-workers. A love that says, wow, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Where did that kind of love just come from you before? And I don't want us to even be tripped up by the past, because we're going back into work and maybe tomorrow or the next couple of days. We're thinking, well, I would love to do that, but the way that I've acted this last while in work, or you know, not even that's been that bad, but I've not been really bold about my faith. I don't want us to be held back by the past. Let us press forward to the here and now and to the future. Let's press forward. Let's go and love people. Let's go and blow people away by the love that we have received, but by the love that we're giving them. Because I want our love to define us. And I want people to turn around, and I want our love to remind them of Jesus. I want it to remind them of Jesus. I'm going to finish off with two more verses real quick. We could go on all day. Luke 6:35 says this, but love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to them. lens to them. So we're wondering what our enemies are, what our friends are. This is what God says about enemies, in case you haven't realized that maybe they are our friends. But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. What? Then your reward will be great, and your children you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. God is saying this morning, the way that we love actually defines who we are. The way that we love other people actually defines Him, because it will be defined through us. The way people perceive God, the way people see God, because they're going to see it in us. If we act like this, if we love our enemies, if we do good to those who don't even want good done to them, what does it say? We will be children of the Most High. It will prove who we are. It will prove who we belong to. 1 Corinthians 1:13 says this: if I speak in tongues of men or in angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. God is saying this morning, if you don't have love, even if you speak great, even if you look great, even if you do great things, even if you could speak like an angel or even sing like an angel, if you don't have love, you know what you are? Just a piece of metal, piece of steel, just no good for nothing. Might as well throw it back. Might as well get a new one. Might as well get an upgrade. But God is saying this morning, you are human beings, made in my image, flesh and blood, beaten with a heart, capacity to love. And God is saying this morning, you've got to love. You've got to reach out. You've got to love people. Here's what it says in the Message, and then we're done, just in that last portion. It says, love never gives up. It's what I need to love like. My love cannot give up. My love cares more for others than for itself. Love doesn't want, but it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It's always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God's always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Lord, send this morning, let's love like that. Let's stand together as we finish. I'm going to finish with Christ Enough. We're going to just pray for just a second. But Lord, I pray, Lord, as we're just standing, that Lord, there's just a fresh injection, or whatever way you want to put this into us, Lord, a fresh injection of your love would enter our hearts and we'd never be the same again. Lord, maybe we have to die daily every day. In fact, the Bible tells us we do. But Lord, as we would die daily every day, could you just inject us with fresh love for the people around us? Lord, if we need to love ourselves even this morning, this is not a conceited one, but if we need to love ourselves because we're just feeling so low and so low self-esteem, then Lord, help us to love ourselves this morning as well. Help us to receive love from the other people around us. Lord, help us to know the love of a Father. Help us to know, Lord, that everything that we go through, God has turned it around for good, that He's covering us in His love, that we are going out in His love. He's sending us forward in His love. And I pray this morning, Lord, as we would sing, Lord, as we would worship, that something would take place in our hearts, Lord, that as we would go forth into this month, into this week, into this year, Lord, that people would feel our love, that they would know our love, and it would remind them of the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray as we would go forth, Lord, in the way that we would act, in the way that we would do for people, that it would remind them of Jesus Christ. They would say, wow, I don't know for whatever reason, but that just feels like Jesus. I've never even thought of God before, but the things that you do for me, they feel like real kind of God stuff. Lord, I pray this morning that that is what we're doing and that's what we will do as we go forth. A culture of love, Lord. A people of love. A church of love. A people that are just going to go the extra mile. And Lord, whatever changes you need to make, whatever things you need to take out, whatever things you need to do in me, Lord, will you do them right now in this moment? Transfer out all the judging, all the criticism, all the defining, and Lord, replenish us with unconditional love. A love that will reach out, and a love that will do. A love that will go. Love you, Jesus. And the reason we'll do all this is because God told us. Father in heaven directs us to do it. He commands us to do it because we want to become more like Christ. We want to become more like Jesus. And sing Christ is Enough. Thank you.